Blog Talk Radio.
Recruiting Animal here on January 16th, 2013. January 16th, 2013. I've been having some problem with the phone. If I get cut off, good old Jerry's going to stick on and handle it for me. But I want to tell you to start off about something that happened on recruitingblogs.com. They asked me to be friendly to them. Recruitingblogs.com. Last week, I posted a notice there that I needed some recruiters to be guests on this show. And I got an interesting reply from a first-time listener, a new listener named Paul Wall. I don't think it's his real name, Paul Wall. He said, "Who wants to go on a show like this and destroy their brand? I listened to a few episodes and was floored at how this guy bludgeoned his guest. Though I personally find the show entertaining." See that? "I would not go on or recommend any of my colleagues for the show." Thank you, Paul. It's a compliment all the same. He liked it, but he won't send anybody to the show. Then he said, "I believe there is a better way to earn ad dollars, advertising dollars, than using guests as punching bags. Who wins? Certainly not the guest." Now, I have to agree with him that there's probably a better way to earn ad dollars because I don't earn any, right? But you know what? I'm a well-respected man in social media, and it wasn't long before my friends started coming to the rescue, to my defense. First, Sandra McCart stepped in. She said, "Paul, you think that being on a goofy blog talk radio show listened to by a smattering of recruiters can destroy your brand. My take is that the Animal Show doesn't have the power to either hurt or help much of anything. Thank you, Sandra." Then Talent Talks, my good friend Kelly with the unpronounceable last name, said, "I've only listened to the show sporadically, and I know it might not be for everyone." What a vote of confidence. Thank you. "But Animal does a thorough job of warning guests about what to expect in advance. And P.S., I don't give a hoot," she said a stronger word, "about my stinking brand." Amy Alla said that too. "I don't care about my brand." And in fact, Amy Alla was the next commenter. She said, "Look, Paul, I've been a guest twice, and while my clout score hasn't gone up, I've made lots of new friends, had a fabulous time, and everyone who heard my appearances was impressed and entertained." Thank you! I'm just reviewing what people said about me. So Paul says, "Hey, Amy, you should stop being a clone and give this guy some real feedback. He needs it." I think he meant shill. Amy Alla is not a shill. Nobody shills from me. The guy listened to one show. The after show people liked it. They liked one show, and he thinks everybody is my yes man. Just one more. Derek Zeller, a recent listener, but an enthusiastic one, said, "Most people who go on the Animal Show think it's inconsequential, so they don't prepare to be interesting. But let me tell you, Paul, the people are making deals with each other after they meet on this show. Posers who are unwilling to face the kind of questions they ask here are what give this industry a bad name. I myself would only work with third-party recruiters if I have heard them on the Animal Show." You hear that? Yeah. So Paul says, "A wise man once told me, don't argue with fools." So Sandra says, "Oh, really? My old daddy told me that you know you're at the end of an argument when the other guy can only say, screw you. And her daddy was right." And that's the end of this intro on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
This is the Recruiting Animal Show!
Thank you, Jerry!
No problem.
I feel something's off today.
Something's off?
sounds not right.
Feels good.
I played
it feels
a little
good,
lower
though.
Than usual. What?
Sounds good.
Yeah, it feels
good.
Right.
Okay.
Sounds okay to me. Maren?
Jerry. Jerry.
That's me.
Jerry, you there?
Yeah.
You got to admit something. Remember I told that guy Dale? Not Dale.
Daryl
Daly. I told him last week this is our special time, so I'm going to take it again. You have to admit something. You actually learned something on the show last week. That's true, isn't it?
I learn something every week, yeah.
Okay.
Usually I learn that I was once indeed right again.
Okay.
Okay.
But you were wrong.
No, yeah.
You didn't know anything. You didn't know anything about contract recruiting in Canada, and this guy, Daryl, taught you about it. Anyway,
actually, the topic was contract placement. Okay. Contract recruiting is when you go in as a recruiter and work for an hourly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Rate.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, get your buzzwords straight, man.
Yeah. Well, just okay. Fine. Let me go.
I am not a contract recruiter. I recruit.
Okay. I'm just throwing off. I don't feel it. I want to feel it. I gotta feel up. Okay. For the show. Tiffany Branch, are you there?
I'm here.
I'm good. Good.
Hi,
Tiffany.
Hi.
It's Jerry Albright.
Oh, hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. Can anyone say hi anymore? Tiffany, let me ask you something right off the bat. Is that your real name?
Yes, it is.
You know, it sounds to me like the love interest in a James Bond novel or something like that.
Well, I was
Branch.
Only told I had the name. I sounded like an actress, so I'll take it.
Okay. You know, when I was a kid, there weren't any girls named Tiffany. Oh, okay, look, you know, with this guy Paul complaining that I'm hard on the guests and stuff like that, I'm going to do something I used to do but haven't done for a while. I'm going to give you a safe word. So if you feel you're in trouble in some way, you just say that word and I'll come to your rescue, okay?
Okay.
You want to pick a word?
How about recruit?
No, how about elevator? We're going to be saying recruit all the time, okay?
Okay,
I'll be rescuing
elevator.
You every few minutes. But start off with your elevator speech, but I won't rescue you from this. Go ahead.
Oh, this is all I'm going to say. I've been in recruiting and human resources for over 15 years with the various different companies. I've never been an agency recruiter, so I'm sure some people are going to be ready to beat me up about what goes on the inside. So that's about it.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, from reading your profile on LinkedIn, it's hard to say that you've never been an agency recruiter because you were on the outside offering recruiting services, and that is an agency recruiter, in my opinion, isn't it?
No, because what I was doing, I was at a time when I do independent contracting. So, you know, as I think Jerry mentioned earlier, when I go into an organization and I get paid by the hour, so that's more what it was.
Okay, that's what you were doing. Do you smoke?
Sometimes.
You have like a Bonnie Tyler kind of voice, a raspy kind of voice. What's wrong? What's up with that? Was that how you're born or was that from smoking?
No, it was probably a combination of I went out and had a few cigarettes last night and I'm kind of tired now.
Well, you shouldn't have been tired when you knew you were going to come here, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so anyway, no, I got a lot of ammo. Let's get going real fast. You hate Gen Y, especially interviewing Gen Y. Isn't that true?
Yes, it is. Well, I don't hate them, but they get under my skin.
Why?
Because they're usually not prepared. They come in, they're not dressed appropriately, they don't have questions, they didn't do any research, and it's just I spend more time telling them what they should do instead of interviewing them for the job that I have.
Uh-huh. Can you give us any specific examples? Do you remember any egregious examples?
Yeah, my best one, this was a few months ago. A young lady comes in. She has on a tank top, a pair of slacks, some really hot shoes that I would wear but not on an interview, and she had nothing in her hand. So as soon as I brought her into the interview room, the interviewer, I said, you know, you just blown this interview. She looked at me like I was crazy. I said, where's your pen? Where's your paper? Where's your portfolio? You know, where's your resume? She had nothing. I said, how are you going to take notes? Do you have any questions to ask me? She was just looked like a deer in headlights.
Man, you are tough.
Wow.
You're tough, right?
Well, because, you know, why? If no one tells candidates these things, no, they won't know. So I felt
did
the
she,
need to let her know.
Did she start
Oh, you just
or
discriminate
anything?
Against her, though. I'm
she
sure
didn't
you're gonna
start
just...
crying. She actually, you know, was a little shocked. She thanked me for telling her, and she actually sent me a nice little thank you card a week later.
Really? Rayanne, did you say that's discrimination?
I'm just saying that's what somebody will cite. I agree with Tiffany.
Was she,
somebody...
was she in a tank top or a tube top?
A tank top.
Okay, yeah.
Did
yes,
she have cat point. Hair on her pants? That's what I want to know.
Cat hair? No, I didn't look that close. I didn't start sneezing,
okay.
So I guess not.
Speaking about hair and tattoos, mm-hmm. what about people with tattoos? Would you hire someone who had visible tattoos on their throat or neck?
Honestly, it depends on the industry. For the industry I'm in now, no. But when I've done creative, yes, it was very normal for people to come in with visible tattoos, red and pink hair. So it really just depends on the culture and the industry.
Really? So is it not against the law to discriminate on the basis of tattoos?
Well, tattoos is not covered under any law, so there's no law about, you know, to discriminate uh-huh. against someone with tattoos.
What about people with lots of hair around their neck and throat? They shave right down or...
If they have hair around their, you know, neck, I mean, if it's trimmed up nicely and it looks neat and clean, fine. But, you know, if they're going to look like, you know, a Fraggle Rock, no, probably not.
Okay. You know, because you used to be a consultant, a career consultant, is that right?
Yes, it's true.
Well, so
still do it on the side.
If you saw a hairy guy come in and, you know, he wasn't wearing a suit and tie and you saw that he had extremely hairy chest and throat, would you, you know, advise him to do anything special about that?
Well, one, if I can see his chest hair, then that means he's not dressing appropriately. So I would definitely advise him on the proper attire. And I would about his grooming.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I would let him know that he needs to, you know, be neat and trimmed, groom up, that a lot of companies would not be receptive to his or her, you know, to his look. So, yes, I would have to let him know as his coach.
Okay, Daryl Disco says the show keeps going on and off. You know what? We can hear it, but there's I told you, I was having a problem. I called in, and then it would say you have to call again. I must have called in 3 or 4 times to this show before.
Oh, my
goodness. Going. So, Daryl, thanks for saying.
Before. My goodness.
Oh, is that Daryl Daly, not Daryl Disco?
It is. It's okay. Daryl Daly. I called in 4 times myself, so.
Yeah, okay. They should give me my money back, you know, on a show like that where I have to freak out to see if I'm going to be there.
How do all
anyway.
Your sponsors react to a kind of a
yeah.
iffy show?
Yeah. Daryl Daly, Intel Minds, yeah. who just spoke, you brought some questions for Tiffany. Is that right?
I did. Actually, I was going to comment just specifically on what she said first about preparation. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you're calling it Gen X or Gen Y. I'm seeing overall a lot of candidates. They're just going in and not preparing at all. They're not dressing properly.
Right.
They don't show any enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. They don't show any. I mean, so, you know, the least that you could do. Here's 2 copies of my resume. Absolute least, right? That you could bring in right off the bat. Because, you know, you never know if there's going to be a second person in there. You might as well have an extra copy of your resume there to take some notes or have some questions ready
yeah,
in
that's,
advance.
You know why? You're not cool. You're behind the times. You're supposed to have a pad or an iPhone that you can read the resume on. What do they think? You're going to use paper, hard copies, or history?
I think hard copies are great in a one-on-one.
Okay,
interview.
Enough
why
with
not?
That. Let me move on. Tiffany, the guy's been on 1 week. Now he's taken over my show. Okay, Tiffany.
Yes.
Tiffany, you don't like cold calls. It just amazed me.
Not
okay?
from recruiters, no.
You don't like cold calls from anybody. You don't like making them. Tell me, recruiters, first of all, why don't you like a cold call from a recruiter?
Well, I don't have a problem making cold calls. I don't have a problem
That's
making them
true.
When I'm trying to
That's
find the right candidate.
That's not what you said. You said if you don't recognize a number, you don't pick up the phone. Is that true?
Yeah, and then you leave a message and I'll call you back.
That's not a cold call.
Because
you
most of the time it's a recruiter, a third-party recruiter wanting to do business with me.
You want to sing That's a Heartache? I kind of feel like I'm talking to Bonnie herself, okay?
Yeah. And really, I just
heartache.
Don't have time
I don't
for
know
spiel.
All the words. I didn't prepare it. Okay, so as a recruiter, it's okay for us to make cold calls to candidates. Yes or no? Is that
Yes,
is
I think
that
that's
true?
Fine. Yes.
Okay, because you said cold calls don't give the person a chance to process the message. You'd prefer to be contacted by email first, but you don't apply that to the
now,
candidate,
Now, here's the
right?
thing, right? If I see your profile on LinkedIn, I figure out your number, I'll give you a call and leave you, and hope most likely I'm going to get a voicemail anyway, so I'll just say, hey, I'm Tiffany, I'm calling from XYZ. I've got an opportunity, I'd like to talk to you about it when you have time. Here's my number, or send me an email.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. Most of the time, if they're interested, they're going to email me back.
Okay, well, I just have some good quotes from you here. If I don't recognize a number, I don't pick up the phone. The unsolicited call is an unwelcome call. Reach out via email, then we can set up a time to chat. It scared me, you know. And then this guy
that's mostly related to third-party recruiters. the amount of calls I get all day, every day, it's too much. And they're pretty much all saying the same thing.
What do they say? Rather
than send me an email with three resumes of someone of who they think may fit one of my positions, and I'll capture my interest. I just don't want to hear the spiel.
Tiffany, what's the typical spiel? I like to be refreshed with what my competitors are
but
doing.
What I usually get is, hey, Tiffany, how you doing? I'm from such and such. Do you have anything I can help you with? This is my specialty, you know, and they go on from there. And I tell them, no, I don't have anything at the time. Well, but if you do have something, what can I do? And I'm like, look, no, I don't have anything I need your help on. Well, I saw on your website that you're working on this. And then I hit them and say, look, that's why I'm here. I'm here to fill that job. I don't need your help. If I need your help, I'll reach out, send me an email with your information, and we're good.
Do you get calls every day?
Every day.
Several times a day?
Several times a day. Friday is usually the one day I don't get too many calls.
They're worn out.
Now, Jerry pointed out to me.
Well, they
were
two callers who
want
to take me to lunch and talk about my needs.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Want me to stop? Should I stop? Do you have more to say about that?
It's just annoying. When I was new in the world of recruiting in HR, I loved it. Yeah, let's go out, eat on your dime. Now I just don't have the time, and I'm not interested.
Yeah, okay. Do you actually eat when you're in a meeting with somebody, or do you think that's going to, you know, be rude? Or
oh, hell no, I'm going to eat. Free lunch.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Jerry pointed out to me before the show that you have a problem getting straight answers from these recruiters who are soliciting business from you. Is that right?
Sometimes, yes. Just tell me what your fee is. I don't want to negotiate. Tell me what your fee is, and then I'll let you know if it's something I can work with or not.
And they beat around the bush?
They beat around the bush. They say, well, we can help you here. I don't want to know your help. Tell me what your fee is. I know what I'm going to pay. Just tell me up front, and then I'll let you know if we can do business.
Can I survey the people on the line? What about Rayanne? Did you do that? Were you reticent to tell people your fee?
Yeah. No. What I meant was, if they didn't tell me their fee, I wasn't going to work with them.
Oh, no, the other side. You were
Animal. Rayanne is a client.
That's
yeah,
not true.
Yeah, she's a VP now. We know, but she was once
a
humble recruiter.
Global. But I was once a humble recruiter, and I wouldn't work with anybody who didn't tell me their fee up front. That's a game I'm not willing to play.
That doesn't quite make sense. You were once a recruiter.
Yeah, she got it confused. She doesn't want to remember where she came from, what we happened to.
She was an internal recruiter paying fees.
I was both. I was all of the above. I was an executive recruiter
she
with a
set
everything.
Fee. She's got everything. She's been around. She's been around
she's
the block, okay?
She's a VP now.
Yeah,
yep.
I know. Daryl Bailey,
you
beat around the bush about your fees?
No, not at all. If someone's going to ask me right off the bat what it is, let's get it out there. I mean, that's the turkey. Let's get it out there. Sure.
Anybody else online? Any other recruiters online who want to chime in on that one? Paul Wall, are you here? Nobody else? Okay. I've never heard of that either, so that's a strange story to me. But you also say they just want to sell you, and they oversell. Is that one of the things? They won't shut up. That's what you sort of said.
Part
with.
Of the ruse.
Yeah, that's one of the things that just gets under my skin. After a while, like I said, I've worked with various agencies and various fields and various specialties. Just give me a good – if you're that good, just show me up front a strong candidate for something I have open. I don't want to hear how long your company's been around and you were bought out by this one and all that. The proof is in the resume for me.
Okay, so you mean you'd actually like them to send you an unsolicited resume?
Yeah, like
I used one of the jobs.
I started working with this one agency one time because he got my email somehow, and I had some senior director of finance positions open, and he sent me an email with four solid resumes, and I wasn't even going to think about using an agency for it, but I liked the people he presented, so I picked up the phone and I called them.
And did he have their phone numbers and contact information left on the resume? Or
no,
he
took it off and replaced it with his contact information, which is what I would expect.
I wasn't sure. You know, this guy, Will Thompson, who approached me on Twitter the other day, I noticed that he commented on this thing about cold calls as well. And he said that when he started, recruiting offices were so noisy, you had to shout to be heard over the other voices in the background. He says, now you can hear a pin drop. That's what Bill Borman says, too. He says, all recruiting and sourcing is done over the Internet. Is that true?
I think so, because a lot of my friends who are on the agency side, they always abhor making phone calls, or they'll complain saying, I want my candidates to email me. Stop picking up the phone. So I'm assuming that he may be true there.
Okay.
There are fewer and fewer
like
bullpen
computers very soon.
What?
That was two people talking over each other.
I think recruiters who just rely on the internet only, they're going to be replaced by bots on Monster and Workopolis very soon.
Oh, okay.
They have to pick up the phone.
Okay.
That's why I'm trying to turn myself into a bot. and I'm halfway there.
Good for you. Good for you.
Okay. Daryl Disco, can you hear us now? Stop cold calling. Yeah, he must be. He's putting stuff out there. Anyway, okay, what is Amy Alla got to go after saying such nice things about me? I have to see what she says. So Tiffany's saying marketing candidates works. Yeah, I guess so. Not really. Not marketing them, Amy. Just sending out
sharing them. There's a difference. Yeah, sharing
them. It sounds like that recruiter was marketing candidates.
I mean, he was.
You disagree with that, Animal?
I disagree with that. That's not marketing.
Oh, not at a VP's level, of course, Rayanne.
And I liked it. So
that is marketing. That's marketing 101, and recruiting is getting your people in front of potential customers.
Some
we have to go over this, people.
Spamming. Some people might consider that spamming.
Isn't that what marketing is? Spam?
Some people do consider marketing spamming, like the 45 minutes this morning I spent deleting emails.
Spam is sending out 100 emails at a time. My suspicion is that the person targeted Tiffany and had a personal note to her and said, hey, I know you're looking for this guy or gal, and I have these candidates available. It's what I do. Here's an example. I'd love to connect with you and see if we could help.
And that's exactly what he did. He probably went to my company's website, saw a position that he had people for, and that's exactly what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Unsolicited spam.
Unsolicited. And it worked.
Yeah, you know
exactly
what? It's hard to figure out. I both think, obviously, this worked, but like I'm with Rayanne. Lots of people would say, don't send me unsolicited resumes. It's the worst thing in the world.
That's what I would do. I won't even
you
look at them.
You never know. You never know what they're doing.
But
now,
you know what? I think, are those people HR people, or are they the hiring managers? Because a lot of times I'll have my hiring managers will send me an email that they got through a third-party recruiter and say, hey, this recruiter reached out to me with these two resumes, and hey, Tiffany, you know, they look good. Reach out to this guy and work with them.
Okay. You know, and we hear from these internal recruiters that they hate that too. Don't approach my hiring manager without coming through me, or I'm going to make you pay for it. You know, anyway.
Mm.
Let's move on. You got a problem that I can solve for you, I think, but not too many people give good answers about this. You have a problem with what I'll call sticky losers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
The one that keeps coming around wanting the specific feedback about why I'm not moving them through the process?
Yeah, you said you had a guy who was great on paper, great resume. He was great in the interview. But apparently he's got a reputation in the industry that the hiring manager was aware of, and the hiring manager ruled this person out for that reason. And you didn't feel that you could tell the person, you know,
he was one of those candidates that, you know, they want specific feedback. They're not going to accept, oh, we went with someone else. He wants to know, well, what was it about me that you didn't hire me? And, I mean, I just feel uncomfortable saying, well, because we heard that you're unethical and your reputation stinks. I just, you know, and as an internal corporate recruiter, I've got to be careful that I'm not going to say anything that's going to jeopardize, you know, my organization as well. So I was looking at the best way.
You can say, I did internal references on you and it came back bad, because all of a sudden he's going to say, well, hey, who are they? I want to know who they are. And get you in trouble.
Exactly. And since he didn't provide references, we never got that far. We never even got to that point. You know, then he'd want to know who I'd want to talk to, who I spoke to. And of course, if I, you know, so it's a real sticky situation. So someone did say, just continue to avoid him and he'll go away. So
yeah, bitter and twisted is not a good look on candidates, is it?
No, but hold on. Why didn't you go and check some references yourself to see that if your hiring manager actually had a correct picture?
No, the hiring manager didn't even want him to interview. I did the phone screen with him and thought it was fine. So the hiring manager was like, no, the hiring manager in this situation has worked with him. He knows the guy. So,
oh, okay.
So that
okay.
and that when I sent
so
the resume
to him.
Why
can't you just
him,
say, look, why can't you
no.
give a straight answer, though? You don't even want to tell him. You've been rejected. The people in the process have examined your file. You're not for them. And they're not giving me the reason, and even if they did, I couldn't tell you.
And
can't
again,
you
because
give him up one answer?
Because technically he would wonder, like, I'm perfect for the job, which, again, if he didn't have a stinky reputation, he would have been. So that's why he's being so persistent.
Yeah, I understand what's coming from his end. And can't you tell him bluntly, I just can't tell you anything. It's an internal process.
Yeah,
and, you know,
can say that.
I can tell you that you're not in the running for the job. Why don't you just do it?
I kind of did tell him something like that. And like I said, he's saying specifically why. Like, did I stink? Do I not have? He wants specifics, and that's what I'm trying to avoid.
Yeah,
you can't
do that.
Specifics. Okay. Now, but the thing is, you also brought you commented on an article written by a guy named Ronnie Watroba, and he says he was trying to fill a position for a vertical market director. One of the candidates was a woman with a very nice figure, and she opened up her blouse to reveal, quote, her ample cleavage, right?
Whoa.
She wore lots of makeup, her nails were painted, very bright, and her hair was in a bouffant style. Like a beehive kind of?
Yeah, it's like a big poofy and a lot of hairspray.
Yeah, so he
think
said...
Think Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, okay. And he said, I had no option...
Alive Amy Winehouse or dead Amy Winehouse?
I had no option
probably
but to
either
critique
one.
Her to critique her choices. So she got up and went to the washroom. He gave her the feedback right there in the meeting. She got up. She went to the washroom for 5 minutes. She reappeared looking very professional, and that impressed him, and he was glad that he gave the direct feedback because it gave her an opportunity to change, whereas not giving your guy the direct feedback doesn't give him any opportunity to change.
She also had the opportunity to leave there and sue him. So,
sue him for what?
On the grounds, on what grounds?
Discrimination.
Discrimination for what? Because of her attire?
Yeah. They can see.
Attire is not a protected, it doesn't fall under discrimination. Now, she could claim because she was a female, but not because of attire. There's no law saying that a company, you know, there's no law regarding attire. If anything, she would have had to feel like she was being discriminated against for being a female or if she had a disability or something.
I think you're beat there, Rayanne. I'm not a
lawyer,
but that's
fine.
HR side of me coming out.
Yeah, and if Tiffany also says she can reject people with visible tattoos, I mean, obviously that's not illegal either, right?
Yeah, it's not illegal.
Okay. Now, you say you hate the idea of a passive candidate being the best candidate. You know, what's wrong with people who are looking for a new job?
You know, a lot of times you hear the lingo that the passive candidate is the one that they want, they're the best. And I say, haven't any of us at some point been in job search for various reasons? And we probably all think we're, you know, the hot stuff in our roles. I know I've looked for a job because my commute was too far, not because, you know, I was low-hanging fruit in the org. So we can't always assume that just because someone is happy and content where they are means they're the best. I work with a lot of happy, content people who aren't going anywhere, and they spend half their day on eBay and reading the Huffington Post. They're just happy with their job, they're comfortable, and they're fine. So it doesn't necessarily make them the best talent. I've also seen some really great talent leave because the company itself is not providing them with any career growth. The company's not encouraging them to, you know, move forward in their career. They're not innovative. So they're stifled. So sometimes your top talent will know better and start a search. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean because they're active they're not the best.
Mm. Okay, your throat's not sore, right? I mean,
that was a great answer, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. No, it's just hoarse.
Okay. Okay, now, I just want to check something because of this comment, you know, the things that Paul Wall said. Are you feeling good, Tiffany? I mean, are you happy?
I'm fine. Yeah, it's fine.
Do you
feel
abused
any
in any way?
No,
yeah,
not at all.
Okay, you don't feel
we don't need
any
lawsuits.
The safe word, right? You
don't have it yet. Nope.
Okay.
Oh, that's
just
a Paul Wall.
Just checking. The guy said I terrorize people, and the guy who was on the show last week, he's here with us today. The Daily guy. Intel Minds, he's right here. He's back, okay? So I couldn't have been that rude. Or he likes it. I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. What positions do you find the hardest to fill? You find admin jobs the hardest to fill. Why is that?
So surprisingly, because it's more about a personality fit than skills. You know, I can get 10, 15, 20 candidates that can all, you know, manage an Outlook calendar and order lunch, but it's whether or not they're going to fit with that executive or that team of people they have to support. That's usually the challenge.
So how do you make the choice in the end? Like, how do you
usually, at this point, I'll know very well the personalities on the team or if it's an individual person they have to support, and I really focus a lot more on behavioral interviewing questions to make the match. And sometimes, depending on the situation, the person, I'll just do temp to hire to make sure that there really is a fit. But admin roles, I focus a lot more on behavioral interviewing.
Like what? What kind of questions are you asking? Do you remember a time when?
Okay, let me tell you. I had this one manager that was an absolute jerk. Like, I loved him, but he was a jerk. And he was very abrasive with his words, the whole nine. So I asked when I was interviewing folks for that role, I asked them a lot of questions about their ability to deal with people who are harsh with their words. Give me an example of a time when someone said something to you that was inappropriate. And depending on how they responded, if they were the types that said, well, I went to HR and complained, or they hurt my feelings and I cried, then I knew that wasn't the person for this guy. But if they said, look, I went into his office or her office and told her don't ever speak to me that way again, and then everything was good, that's the person I ended up hiring. So I would just ask a lot of situational questions.
People will be honest about that, say they went and snitched to HR and they
didn't
get a job.
Come on, you know the stuff you could get people to say in an interview.
I don't know. They like to, when Daryl says they lie. Daryl, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, yeah.
I had a candidate one time all but admit she was trying to get a job at my company so she could basically stalk her ex-boyfriend.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so
you
can pull some weird stuff out of
candidates
sometimes.
Your candidates are much weirder than mine, okay? So I don't know. Anybody else want to ask a question? Daryl, you have another?
I have a question for later, but I'll ask her later.
Later. You can ask her now if you want. Okay, remind me. I'll forget about it. Daryl, do you have any more that you'd like to ask?
I guess the big question I had was, what's your other than not being prepared for the interview, what's your biggest pet peeve about people who come in?
Again, their attire, not being prepared with just the basic interview answers. I mean, anyone can Google common interview questions and be prepared for some of them. Candidates who don't know anything about the organization whatsoever. You know, like you could just tell, I just want a job. So they don't seem enthusiastic. They don't ask me any questions. So those are things that just shows a lack of preparation. It just, it turns me off big time.
What do you want them to ask you? What do you want? What kind of research do you want them to indicate they've done? I mean, how would they show you they've done research?
You know, it'll all depend on the different positions. But for instance, if I'm looking for a salesperson, a very common position in my current, with my current company, then I want you to ask me about what are the average bonuses like? What type of sales can I expect? Is the territory that I'm applying for, are they meeting their sales targets? Are they below? What am I going to be expected to do? I mean, really get into some specific questions that relates to the job that they're doing. You know, I'm not asking them the stuff they can find on the company website, but, know your profession, know the industry, and come prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You know when all these career coaches say, oh, come in and show that you're a problem solver. You can solve their problems. What does that mean to you?
I don't like that because really you don't know our problems until I tell you.
Right on.
How are you going to know what our problems are if you don't work here?
Well,
so
maybe
I
you've paid a resume coach to help
to,
you uncover
you know,
some.
Silly.
I agree, Tiffany, but then they always say, you can do the research, but they don't tell you how to do the research. Oh, go on their website. You'll find everything out.
I mean, like right now, how do you know how would an external person know that the system we're currently using sucks, it's a proprietary system, and it needs to be rebuilt? How are they going to know that? You're not going to find that out on a website.
You know what they tell you to do? Go find people who are working there on LinkedIn and call them up out of the blue and ask them for information.
Now, to a degree, you can do that. Like, it's a major company in this city that I'm in where tons of people work for that organization, especially in human resources and recruiting. So when I would get calls from that company, I was always picking up the phone, like, tell me what their structure is like, tell me what's going on, because I personally knew people there. So if you know someone that works for that company or used to work for that company, that's a good route to take. If you don't know anyone, it's going to be much harder to get someone to open up. But you could go to a site like a Glassdoor and see the kind of stuff that's posted. You know, that's about the best you can get if you don't have any inside contacts.
No, but if you, what about this idea of calling somebody you don't know from LinkedIn and say, hey, I found you on LinkedIn and I want to work at this company. Can you tell me what the problems are so I'm going to talk about in the interview?
I don't think that, I think the only person that might respond to that is a disgruntled employee.
Okay. Now, you said, I wasn't clear, you said that small firms are better to recruit for. Is that what you believe?
No, meaning I like working with smaller third-party staffing firms.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you just made my day.
I like small firms. There's
what?
One small firm that I have worked with since 1999. And wherever I go, if I can use her, I will.
Uh-huh. Okay, do you want to tell why? I mean,
she's not harassing.
You know,
she's not doing the hard sell. She works damn hard to find good candidates. She'll tell me when she can't help with the search. So she's upfront when she says, look, I don't have people in that space or I don't have any good people for you right now, so she's not going to waste my time sending me crap just to get the business. She, you know, she'll turn down the opportunity if she just doesn't have the people. And I appreciate that. She knows my style. She doesn't, you know, if she sends someone to interview with me at 1 o'clock, she's not calling me at 1:50. What's your feedback? Like, can I go to the bathroom first? You know, she gives me time to, so she just works well with me. And I think it's because she probably works, she works right out of her own office. She's not worried about paying 20 million people. And, you know, she works. And it's just been a great experience with the small firms.
You know, funny, when I started out, I listened to some tapes from different, you know, trainers, and they would say, as soon as they're out of the office there, get on the phone to the candidate while he or she's still in the parking lot,
yep,
and immediately call the interviewer back and get the rundown. You're saying that's not good.
Look, sometimes I'm back-to-back with candidates. I got one coming at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Literally, I just have time to run to the bathroom and get a cup of coffee. I don't have time to talk to you yet. So I always, you know, when I work with a third-party recruiter, I always tell them, I'll give you 24 hours. I'll get back to you within 24 hours or less. So if I get back to you within an hour, great, but give me at least 24 hours.
Hey, Animal.
Yeah.
Resume Strategy has a problem with you saying that coaches tell job seekers to make calls like that.
Oh,
she then advises that you get to know what they do before you criticize.
I'm going to start as a career coach. A lot are told to do that.
Go ahead. Sorry, Tiffany.
People have tried to – some of these coaches have made a living helping people exploit their LinkedIn account, how to go through your primary contacts to get to know someone on the inside, and it's crap.
I'll say as a career coach, some of the things that we're told to advise, I don't agree with being an HR and recruiting person. Like one of the big ones they say is don't ever talk salary up front. Well, look, as a recruiter, I want to know where you want to be because I'm not going to waste my time going through the process if we can't get in a sandbox and play. But they will, but we will or are told to advise candidates, you know, don't discuss salary right away. So then you get this candidate or this applicant on the phone, you're asking them where they want to be, what's their salary range, and they're playing the him and haw game. And I'm like, look, I don't have time for this. I know where I can be. Where do you want to be? So.
Okay. You know, I just got to see a message on Twitter. I had time to look at Twitter. I guess I shouldn't have because it distracted me. But my friend Daryl, who's on the line here, didn't ask this question on the phone, but on Twitter he says, Is Tiffany, I was going to call you Teresa, is Tiffany worried about her brand? Am I hurting your brand? Am I hurting your brand?
No, not at all. I don't believe in all
this brand crap. I want you to tell Paul that I'm not hurting your brand, okay? You've been here for half an hour.
You know,
I'm not
brand
hurting
is
your
like
brand.
The new thing everybody wants to talk about, your social brand. It, you know, I'm a recruiter. That's what I do.
Okay. Now,
straight talking recruiter.
Yeah. Now, you said also, if I relied on the resume that came in through my applicant tracking system, I'd never fill a job. What does that mean?
I mean, you know, you do get a lot of corporate recruiters who just sit back and they wait to look at their recs to see how many people applied, and they go through the 20, 30, 40, 100 resumes, and, oh, no one's good. Well, that was just a waste of time. So you need to use tools. You know, I use LinkedIn. I use my own networks, my peers in the industry to find people. I can't waste time waiting on the resumes. I would probably say about 90% of resumes that come in for me for a job, they're horrible, or not horrible. They don't match what I'm looking for. So I don't have a lot to work with if I'm just reading on the database, the resume database.
So what about when people are always talking about they send in their resumes and they know they're right on and it goes into the black hole? There is no black hole. They just stink. Is that what you're telling us?
A lot of times they do stink. And sometimes there is a black hole, and I'll give you a perfect example. Where I'm currently at, we have to post our jobs externally. That's just one of their rules. But I posted the job, and I already had three candidates lined up. So realistically, most of those people that applied, I wasn't going to reach out to because we already had three strong candidates.
So did you reply to them, or how?
Through networking,
like
I had them, other people, referrals, and I just kind of put them to the side. They were good. And I knew that this position was going to come up, down the line. So when the position opened, I called those folks in. And so they were pretty much interviewing before the posting was even posted for 48 hours.
Okay.
And that's why I tell job
seekers
they've got to get off these job boards and network their way in.
Oh, really? You want to elaborate on that a bit?
Well, the worst thing a job seeker can do is spend 30 hours a week just applying online. You got to find an inside track, someone to get you in the door. Get a little creative as a job seeker. I mean, I remember one time I was looking for a new contract. I was driving around just looking at names of companies in my area. Then went on LinkedIn to see who I could find at those companies. Was I connected? One specific company, I had a connection through my sorority. Emailed that person. She got me into the recruiter. The recruiter got me to the VP. Boom, I landed a contract. So you just, job seekers have to be creative and be more active. Sitting applying online is just passive. Doesn't mean that you won't get a call. I've called people that I found through my database, but it's just not the most effective.
Really? Jerry does that. Don't you do that, Jerry, looking at trucks and stuff when you're driving on those long hauls you take on the highway and thinking, I'd like to call that company. Do you? Jerry gone?
He's gone?
He must have taken a call or something.
He must be taking a call. He's a busy man. So I'm sorry. Don't be insulted that Jerry's not listening to what you. I can tell he likes you. I like you, too, okay? Now, you said something. I have to tell you something else, though. You have left a lot of big footprint on recruitingblogs.com. And by being able to go through there, I can tell that you know what you're talking about. And, in fact, Paul Wall, now the fact that she's been on this show and is speaking so – she's always got something to say that makes sense. This is good. This is good. She's leaving a footprint. If you were looking for a job again, there's so much that people can find online that indicates that you know something. You're
resume. You must be helping my brand then.
I think I am. Okay? Anyway, but your company doesn't pay for LinkedIn. Is that true?
Yep, they don't. Matter of fact, I had to get special permission to get access to it because it's blocked.
What?
Really? Oh, it's blocked. It's blocked.
It was blocked.
Blocked. So your employees can't use it?
Nope, they can't use it.
Yeah, but
wow.
Why not? Why can't they use it?
I can only assume because they put it in the category of social media. I mean, HR didn't even have it, so I had to get special permission when I came on board to get
job board.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay,
I'm back.
Yeah, Jerry, you drive around on that. I asked you a question. You weren't there.
Yeah. I don't
want
to tell you
okay.
what I was doing.
Okay.
Oh, Jerry.
Wash your hands.
But, Jerry, when you're going
on a
trip.
I was not in the banyo.
Too much coffee this morning, Jerry?
No.
I won't ask you that question. We'll just move on. But, okay, so you're all your employees are blocked from LinkedIn. You got special permission. They don't spend a nickel on LinkedIn. Like, they don't get you LinkedIn recruiter or any of the fancier tools, right?
Matter of fact, the team that was, kind of handling the recruitment admittedly said we're not really recruiting people. They didn't even know about using LinkedIn for recruiting. The first few hires that I had here, everyone was like, where did you find these people? I'm like, LinkedIn. And so it just wasn't something they were aware of.
How could that happen?
Wow.
How could that be? It's 2012.
You had, this is an example that we talk a lot about on recruiting blogs. The HR manager says, I'm not a recruiter. So she just didn't know, she just knew that whatever came into Taleo. That's what she, got. And the other person that was a recruiter really wasn't up on using social media for her recruitment efforts.
Yeah, but that, that's just ignorant. I mean, that's just ignorant, really, at this point, isn't it? You know, I don't want you to say something.
I think it's ignorant. I think the bottom line is that LinkedIn is far more than just
ignorant.
A recruiting tool. It's a way to engage with clients, with candidates, with you know, who, you know, the rest of the market that's out there, just to see what's going on. I think that's a really backwards way of.
And again, it's part of the culture, you know, or a culture of not being as innovative. So those are some of the challenges.
So you're limited.
You know.
So you're limited.
Wow.
You're limited to your own on LinkedIn. You're limited to your own network. Like
I'm limited to my own network. Fortunately, you know, I can find ways to work through and get to other people. You know, so I have a pretty vast network on LinkedIn. I even paid out of my own pocket for Indeed.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. It's, you know, for $50 a month, it'll be worth it for you, right?
Yep, I just write it off on the taxes.
Okay. You hate. Anybody else got a question they want? So we got 15 minutes left. I got lots of questions. Anybody else got something? Hold on, Karen, we will see what. Animal, isn't the strategy that Jerry Albright just called crap? I don't know. Anyway, okay, video resumes, you don't like them for the obvious reason, right? You could say the same thing on paper and not have to wait 3 minutes to get
it. I mean, it definitely has a place, but for an immediate submission, the one that was posted, it was like 8 minutes long or something like that. I'm like, I don't have 8 minutes to see all, you know, to qualify you. I mean, we all know how much time we spend reading a resume. Could you imagine having to sit through 200 video submissions, you know, to find what you want? It's too much.
Yeah, I guess they're good if you're shortlisted.
Yep.
Or you're about to be shortlisted. But it's just obvious that who can look at 10 of those things and do something else during the day?
Now, I would have been okay. Like, that guy, looked like he had some decent stuff, but I lost interest. So, you know, I kind of stopped paying attention after a while. He could have put all of those accomplishments on a resume and then maybe included a link to his site. So if I liked the resume and I narrowed him down to one of my top, you know, 3 or 5 people, maybe then I would go check him out during my lunch and look at the site. Or I would let the manager know, like, hey, this is a marketing person. You want to see his marketing skills? Click on the link. But for the recruiter, it's too much. I think for the hiring manager, it definitely helps sell.
Okay. Now, LinkedIn groups, you belong to just a few, not a ton. Do you get anything out of them?
Yeah, I do.
I really do. What?
I actually get very good contacts, like referrals. Sometimes I even get people who are qualified for some of my jobs themselves, but because of location, you know, I can't really utilize them. But they are very helpful in, you know, connecting me to other people that they know in their networks who may be qualified. So the groups do work.
Give me an example. Prove it.
I work in a motorsports company. I advertise for a regional position in a very hard-to-fill territory, posted it out on my groups that are related to the industry, had 3 people reach out because of
reach
location.
Don't say
I had
that.
To eliminate
okay.
2.
Don't say that. I had to read your stuff on recruiting blogs, and all anyone said was, reach out. I'm reaching out. No one ever said I pick up the phone. No one ever said I emailed them. They all reached out. Don't say that here, okay?
Okay. They emailed me.
Good.
Yeah, there you go. Excellent.
They emailed me. No one picked up the phone. They emailed me.
Okay, good. So anybody else online get that kind of action out of their LinkedIn groups?
Yep.
Who? Who said that?
Rayanne. I've hired from groups before. So.
Oh, you've hired from groups or you've had people help you hire?
Don't ask her how many times
any
specifics, please.
No, I've actually hired 2 people from a group that I started years ago. And,
I liked you better when you were meaner, Rayanne. You know what? I did.
You want me to be mean?
No, but I kind of...
Yeah, you were a little scrappier.
I think your brother's having too much influence on you. I like the guy. I'm glad I met him, but he's nicer. I mean, follow him, you know?
Well, and she's got a man now.
Need a little pepper in that family, and
but
you were in,
but I still have menopause
okay?
working for me on the work. The
no,
ministry.
Menopause is supposed to make you angry. It's supposed to make you bitter, okay?
Trust me, I'm bitter about it. Trust me.
Okay.
And the question I have for Tiffany later will be my biting nature will come out.
Okay. Good.
Uh-oh.
Good.
But it's not
it
against
Jerry.
You, Tiffany. I just have a question because
You want to ask it now while she's still
here?
Yeah,
I'll ask it now. So I just want to go back. I know you said that attire is not cause for discrimination. So how does that work after you're hired?
After you're hired, you have to follow the company dress code policy.
Okay, what if the company doesn't have a dress code?
Excuse me?
What if the company does not have a stated dress code?
If the company doesn't have a stated dress code, but a manager has an issue with that person's attire, they need to bring it to the employee's attention. If the employee does not change their attire, the employer has the right to terminate them.
Okay. Even though there's no policy about it?
Yep.
Wow. That doesn't seem
remember,
right, does
it? Remember, the main thing that the only thing...
If the employee didn't know...
No, but what I'm saying is if the manager has to approach the employee and make them aware that their attire is inappropriate.
Okay.
And then if the person does not correct their attire, that manager can let them go. And, I mean, and realistically, even if the manager didn't say anything, they can let them go too.
Well, that's
not,
you know, that
not protected
mind. I don't
at
know if
all.
You saw
the only things that are protected from under discrimination are anything related to gender, disability, race, ethnicity, religion, and in some states,
right.
not even federally, states,
right.
sexual orientation.
I just didn't know if you had a differing opinion. That dental assistant case, I don't know if you heard about that her boss fired her after 11 years because she was too sexy.
No, I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah. And she
call.
Tried to sue him based on discrimination, and the court sided with the dentist saying, you know, he came out and said, look, my wife was uncomfortable with her and our relationship, and I had to fire her. And
yep.
the court sided with him.
No, it's nothing stating. There's no law protecting attire that, you know.
Yeah. Well,
thing.
Yeah, I actually was I had a boss send me home saying, your cleavage is showing too much, so you need to go check.
Too sexy.
Too much boobage.
Too sexy.
Yeah.
I hate to admit
but
I've been sent home before. Yeah,
I didn't change. I refused to go home that day because they didn't have a policy in place.
Mm-hmm.
But I did come. I did note further on to be a little bit more careful about how.
Yeah, I had a manager tell me my pants were too tight, but it was just because I had gained weight, so you know I had to go up a size.
Okay, so you know what? We're down to the last 10 minutes, and you've got a whole bunch of things that you hate, and I've got a big list of them here. Okay. You hate it when you're working on a job order and an internal candidate pops out of the blue, and when you've got some good qualified candidates, but you have to favor that person. Is that how it is on the inside?
Yeah, most of the time, even if we know they're not qualified, out of courtesy, you know, we have to interview them. But it becomes problematic when they think they're the best or they expect to get the job, and we hire externally, and now it becomes an HR issue. Because we didn't give them the opportunity to advance their career, blah, 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 blah. So
you gave them the opportunity. They weren't qualified to take it, right?
Yep.
Okay, but is that regular? Do these people get insulted a lot, or is it? How come it's not obvious to them that the other candidates are better?
Well, because you're not really discussing other candidates' qualifications. You know, like I'm not going to talk about what candidate A had to candidate B. You know, it's just I don't do that.
Okay.
But a lot of times, unfortunately, managers don't always do a good job of letting their employees know their areas for development. So they are assuming that they're hot stuff, and, you know, sometimes they're not.
Uh-huh. Are managers good? Are hiring managers good interviewers, or are they bad? As they
typically,
are
no.
Really?
I find and especially newer managers. Newer managers are usually the worst. Ones who have been doing it for a long time, they probably got the hang of it. But for the most part, they don't. Like with my current group of managers, I actually put together a recruitment questionnaire and guide and tell them to stick to what I put together because they don't even trust themselves and they admit it.
Okay, but you're a generalist recruiter, right?
Yep.
Okay, so do you find that you've got some shortcomings with, you know, like for instance – Jerry works a niche. He works
mm-hmm.
IT. So did Daryl. Daryl's in the same IT programmers. And Daryl even has a BSc, I think, a Bachelor of Science in Computer
mm-hmm.
Science. So, I mean, they know, I mean, what the good questions are to ask. You're
mm-hmm.
coming to these, you know, jobs quite often not knowing that much about them. You can't ask, you know, the good kind of hypothetical questions. Whereas the hiring managers, they're in a much better position to find out if it's a good candidate because they know the job inside out, or they should know something about it technically. How come they're bad, even if they're in that position? What
because
makes them
sometimes
bad?
They're good at asking the technical questions, so I call it teching out the candidate, where most of your answers, it's either right or wrong. But they're not always good at the behavioral side and making sure they're getting the right fit. So depending on the manager, and usually I get to know my managers and their style, I'll say, okay, you focus on this, I'll focus on this, and then we'll come together and make the decision. So at one point when I first kind of got into IT recruiting, I mean, I didn't know anything about IT. And I had one manager, we were doing data architects. He said, Tiffany, you pre-qualify them, and here's some good questions to pre-qualify them. This is the response you're looking for. He said, I'll tech them out. You do the behavioral piece. So he was ready to go with this guy who technically was great. I said, nope, he's got a choppy work history. He's been a management problem. He's like, how did you figure that out? I said, from the types of questions that I asked him. So we learned to partner together.
So what questions did you ask him that revealed that he was a management problem?
Oh, gosh, this you asked me to go back to 2000. But, again, a lot of situational questions, why he left his job. He was a job hopper. He was always leaving, and it was always the manager's fault or another employee's fault as to why he was leaving, which that's just a huge red flag right there.
Do you actually ask people how they resolve conflicts on the job?
Yep, and you know, I'll pose it in different scenarios, different ways, but typically, yeah.
Okay, give me an example. Come on.
I might say, tell me about a time when you and a peer didn't agree on how to move forward with a project that you were assigned. And so, I'll wait for their answer, and I'll look for certain things. And depending on what they say and knowing the situation that they're going into, then I try to evaluate their response and how it would work with the group that they're going to be in.
What if they say, I never have any real conflicts with the people I work with?
And then I usually say, come on, think hard about it. Everyone's had a conflict at some point in time. And if they're really trying to get around it, I said, well, let's think about your extracurricular activities. Have you ever, do you volunteer? Have you ever been part of an organization, a church group? Give me an example from that. So if they can't give me a work example, then give me something from everyday life.
You're a fairly tough cookie, I'd say.
Yeah, especially when I have to do morning interviews because I'm not a morning person.
Oh, okay. Now, I had a good question. I have one final one there. You actually will get a good a candidate who can do the job, and you'll turn him or her away because of the personality?
Because think about it, and this is my HR hat. Most of the people that I've had to let go, it's not because of their performance on their actual performing the job. It's conflict within the workplace. Either they don't get along with their manager or they don't get along with their team. Most employee relations issues are not related to a person's ability to do their job at all. It's not.
And how often does it come up that people get let go for personality issues?
It does. And, this is what ends up happening. You performance them out, or when a company wants to get rid of you, they can figure out a way to do it.
Wow. I mean,
a company
I'm
may know
always...
that every single person goes on the Internet for something unwork-related. But if they want to get you, they'll say, oops, you violated company policy. You're not supposed to be using the Internet for personal use, and you're gone.
Wow. Like living in a communist country. Yeah. Any last questions for the guest, for the people who are on the line? Daryl, you have another question for?
No, I'm good.
Okay, Rayanne's had her little spat with her. Jerry, got anything to say to
Tiffany? It wasn't a spat.
He
was curious.
I wanted her information. Yeah, I was curious.
Sure, that's right. Nobody else?
No.
Tiffany, I'm so glad you came.
I'm glad you invited me.
I have to cut in for a second. I forgot to tell Tiffany that she's not supposed to be on this part of the show. You'll have to let her know, okay?
Get out of here!
Bye.
That was mean.
That was mean, Jerry. She was a great guest.
What are you menopausing?
Hey,
menopausing, Jerry?
Look, we will come up with an accurate score that reflects we liked her. She knows I'm.
Yeah, I did like her. She knew her stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that she doesn't ruse. I mean, that's one of my biggest pet peeves.
Well,
Jerry, you're
anymore.
A famous ruser, so.
In 1991, you don't have to anymore. That's
no,
why I keep
no
going after
to.
Maureen. The whole business of phone sourcing. Out of date. Lame. Thankfully, I haven't had to do it in a long time. I pay other people to.
There you go. That's what's good about being king.
I wouldn't know about that.
Yeah, well.
Rand, it's been a while since you've been on the show.
Well, I've been
a
little busy. Yeah, it's been pretty crazy.
Well, what we do in the after show, just to refresh you and any other callers, we try to come up with an accurate score for the guest, and it's recommended we evaluate them based on their knowledge, you know, their enthusiasm, how well they presented their area of expertise on a scale of 0 to 100, as well as a score for animal. Along the same lines, though, his is more of a how did he manage the show? Did it flow well? How was his demeanor? Et cetera, et cetera. Can you help me with a score for our guest, Tiffany Branch?
Oh, Rand's going to give a score of 95 for Tiffany. I like
wow.
her. I thought she knew her stuff. That's probably the highest score I've ever given a guest. She knows what she's doing, and obviously success follows her. My concern for Tiffany in the future will be, what's she doing now? Is she an independent contractor now? Are she working in-house?
She's working in-house. I'm not sure if she was contracting there, but she's an internal person now.
Yeah, she contracts herself out there as an internal corporate recruiter.
Yeah, so my concern for her will be what a lot of independent contractors and small business owners are going to face in the next year with the Unaffordable Care Act and, how that's going to impact her ability to pay medical bills or her own insurance, that type of thing. So it'll be interesting to see how people in that same boat. Jerry, you fall into that category. How it's going to impact you.
Yeah,
I
have no
idea what this is. What is that act? I don't know what it is.
Obamacare.
The what?
Oh, Obamacare.
It's
okay.
The Health Care Act and how it's going to affect small business owners.
Yeah, the free
health care. Independence. The free health care that's not free for people who actually work.
Yeah, as I understand it, it doesn't affect employers of under 50 people. Now,
you still
sure,
have.
I still have to
watch. Well, employers, but independent individuals. It changes how much you'll be paying for health care. So.
Well, my health care has gone up. You know, the monthly premiums are up like, geez, I don't know, $250 or $300 more each month since Obama made health care more affordable.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. So,
well, actually, in 2011, my health care was like $7,000, and this last year it was $9,350.
And that was for just the end of 2012 when it went into effect.
Is that full coverage for dental and medical and drugs, et cetera, medication?
Actually, it's
just for medical, right?
Yeah, I would consider it more of a catastrophic plan where, you know, it's a high deductible, that kind of thing. So, it's not what would be considered a Cadillac plan under this administration, which
that's insane.
You then have to pay a higher tax for that.
Is that just for you or for the whole family?
It's for me and my three kids, but my wife is covered under her employer's plan. She works at a school.
The kids and you are not covered under the employer's plan? This is all news to me. I don't
Really
think about
well, the thing is we could be. It's kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other, frankly. I mean, because you still pay. It's not all paid for. Yeah, it's not all paid for.
Wow.
And most, here in the States, most health plans have a clause that your family is covered if the spouse, you know, like your spouse is covered if their employer doesn't provide a group plan. You know, so like if your employer provides a group plan, you can't go on to your spouse's. So, I don't know if you guys are married or anything.
Nope.
No, you're single?
Thanks for reminding me.
Can I chime in, Jer, with just a score?
Yeah, who is this?
It's Daryl Daly here.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Yeah, so I was on first time last week as a guest. I enjoyed myself.
You got
I
a good
really
score too.
Yeah, no, yeah, and I appreciate the you know the score and the feedback. I got it was all positive. I learned a lot, and that's why I came back. So I really liked Tiffany. I thought she was great. She knows what she knows, and she'll share it with you. And if you don't like it, she really doesn't care. So in many
yeah.
ways, she's kind of
she knows
she's kind of like an animal, right? So you know he's going to say what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and if you don't like it, don't listen. So from a perspective of how she presented herself, I'd give her a 90. Same thing for knowledge, like knowledge of you know what she does and how she
yeah.
does it. I really like the fact that she you know, she kind of went into some detail about how she kind of does things. I'm amazed, just amazed that her current, I guess not employer but you know
yeah.
location does not use LinkedIn and doesn't allow it.
That's horrible.
That's just the most backwards thing. I mean, how can you engage with your clients and candidates and potential, you know, let the world know about what you're doing? You know, it's ridiculous.
But from the other perspective, though, if they were all masters at using LinkedIn, perhaps she wouldn't be able to bring her skill set to bear.
I still think you always need recruiters.
Come on.
Yeah.
What do you mean, come on, Rayanne?
There's nothing to benefit from hiding stuff like that, you know, that's old school recruiters. That's
yeah,
what they did
much.
When I first started recruiting.
You hid
your tactics from each other,
oh,
and that's
geez.
Why those guys that did all that cloak and dagger shit, they're not in business anymore.
But
you know,
me,
I remember when I first
that's me,
started,
and I'm still in business. So
you know what,
okay,
when
well
I,
that's
when
not
started,
you.
That
you're out there
agency.
Writing and talking all the time, Jerry.
Yeah, I started at small agencies at the beginning, and I remember people taking their resumes because your resumes were your resumes, not the house's
exactly.
resumes. And they would hide them in. I'm not. Yeah, they would hide them in the ceiling tiles.
I remember
awesome.
Getting caught sneaking resumes out one time.
Oh my god, that is awesome.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. You know what? And you always have to wonder about that one guy who stayed late. What's he doing? Is he
What's
in the ceiling?
Doing? Is he in my file?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he in my file? Is he making photocopies? This photocopier ink is out. What happened? We just replaced it yesterday at 3:00. What happened?
But really, the topic is the company not fully knowing about LinkedIn, and I'm saying it's to recruiters' advantage. That's where you know we work with companies who aren't experts at recruiting. If every corporate client was just an expert at recruiting, well, that'd certainly take a hit out of our business.
Yeah, but if you're only looking at LinkedIn as a recruiting tool, then you're right. But it's so much more than that. I think you can engage with so many parts of your business. That's why I think those companies are losing out, period.
Okay. All right. What's
yeah,
your score
like
for Animal?
For me, I'd actually give him an 85. I thought he was very, very nice with her, which is, you know, good. He kind of let her do her thing and speak to it, so I think that's a positive.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, and I don't know why, I'll let you guys speak to it, but his portion of the show didn't seem to flow as well as it did last week with me. I don't know why. He seemed to be a little bit, I don't know, like he was going down a direction and then he would stop and kind of hold back. Just my thing. I don't know
it's
why.
Hard to figure the animal out. Keep
yeah.
trying.
Yeah, I won't put a whole lot of effort into that.
Hey, Rayanne, I missed your score for Animal.
Yeah, I'm going to give Animal an 85 as well.
You guys are just too easy.
He's not going to get a higher score. I mean, he typically would have gotten a higher score, but there was not enough meanness in him.
He wasn't scrappy enough today, was he?
He wasn't scrappy at all. But to his credit, it might be because he was actually learning something from Tiffany. So.
Yeah, well, and I know that you don't go to the other recruiting blog place anymore, but there was kind of a big conversation over there the last couple of days. You might want to check that out.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
I
tempered
guess.
his personality. Somebody was saying all he does is abuse people, ruins their brands, and that's what he was talking about at the beginning of the show, Paul Wall. Whoever that is,
yeah.
fake guy.
He drives a Lamborghini.
That
he
is nice.
147 placements last year. Thank you very much. Apparently.
Dude, I'd quit at 100. I'd just shut it down. You know,
go on vacation.
See, I believe it's physically and professionally impossible to place 170 people in 1 year.
Not without staff.
Yeah, maybe temps. on three-day assignments?
That's just it. Temps is just a bum and seat game, right? That's all it is. Like for admin people?
Giving people rides to work and stuff? Helping them find a babysitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not into that. Hey, who else did not give a score? There was somebody else on earlier. Who was that? Nobody? It's just us three? Man, this show's going down the tubes, man. Is it me? People just aren't really enthused to stick around for the short after show where we review the guest and the host and any other topic that comes up. Is that it? That could be. I've been so overworked lately. I'm glad it's a short after
show. You do those 170 placements, of course you're overworked.
Yeah,
you
man.
Pack it in. It's January. You've got 170 placements. Pack it in.
Gosh. Yeah. See, the guy had almost a little credibility until he said he drives a Ferrari and made 170 placements. He had to crack before too long. So, all right. Is there anything that you guys would like to talk about while you've got me on the phone here
in the heart of the state? So much. But, work calls.
I am a fountain of knowledge. Hey.
Huh.
If you lose out, don't blame me.
Well, you'll still be here. That fountain of knowledge will still be flowing next week, Wednesday, right?
Yes, I hope so. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
See ya. You're the one that's fucked up here, not me!